This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I am Emily, here with Laura.
Hello, hello.
And today we are talking about how to deal when motherhood just feels too hard, when your responsibilities feel completely overwhelming, when you have no idea how to move forward, or when you just feel like you can't do it. Hopefully that includes all of us.
I hope so. If you do not identify with that statement, I want to meet you, please.
Yeah. But first, we are really excited because this week we are kind of doing a pledge drive to financially support the ministry of Risen Motherhood. And we're really excited to talk to you guys about it and excited to invite you to get involved.
Yeah. Earlier this year, some of you may have been along for the ride with us when we became entirely community supported. So we launched a platform called Patreon at that time, and then also received a lot of one-time donations through many of you. And so we are hoping to just continue that now. We also formalized our mission statement earlier this year. So our mission statement is to encourage, equip, and challenge moms to apply the gospel to their everyday lives. So if you're new to our ministry, or if you just need a quick refresher, this is what we're all about. Our hope is to encourage, equip, and challenge moms with the gospel. So we do that through the podcast, which you're hopefully listening to right now, through articles on our site that are written by moms from all over the world and all different backgrounds. Also the newsletter, social media content, recommended resources. If you didn't know, we pulled together tools that we enjoy using with our kids, that we use ourselves, that are beautiful and theologically sound, so that you have them in one spot to equip you in order to invest in your family well. We also have our equipping resources. So these are things like the Abide Method, which teaches you how to study the Bible, and our kids' Abide cards, which teach you how to walk through a biblical passage with your children. So it's pretty cool to see what God has done through all of these arms, through all these platforms that we have at RM. And it's been so fun because We have heard from so many women all over the world about how God has worked in their life through the ministry.
Yeah, it's really encouraging. There are nearly 1,000 written reviews on iTunes, which just blows my mind. So you guys should go read them if you want to hear some awesome stories.
We read them all.
I know how God is working in and through Risen Motherhood. One thing in particular that we felt like captured kind of the heart of what we love seeing was a review by Mommy Hills. And in her review, she said, "I used to search for the best or right method, advice, books, etc. But now I feel freed up from the pressure of doing things perfectly, thanks to the truth from RM that Jesus is our only hope and he is our children's only hope as well." And that is just one example of the many, many messages we've received about women who were maybe looking for hope and help and a lot of the resources that the world offers, but instead had their perspective shifted back onto God and back on the good news of the gospel and what he's done for them in Christ.
Yeah, we've heard from missionary moms who are using it when they lack resources in their own communities. And some of them are actually, this is so cool, their friends want to learn English that they've met. And so they're giving them the podcast to help them learn English. And at the same time, they're getting the gospel. I just love that. I get the chills when I hear that. We also have heard from so many women who are starting podcast clubs to discuss the show or Bible studies for the very first time in their neighborhoods with unbelievers in them. We also hear about moms who are sharing it with an unbelieving friend when they are struggling over snack time or screen time or a lack of sleep, all the things that we sort of zero in on here at Risen Motherhood. They're sharing that with an unbelieving friend who has never heard the gospel. Husbands who are listening in and they're starting to have deeper conversations with their wives because of the content from the show, or women who are just picking up their Bibles for the first time in a really, really long time. Story after story we've been hearing, and we want to point out though that we recognize that this isn't RM that is doing this work. This is not Risen Motherhood. This is God doing the work in the hearts of these people.
Yes. And we are so grateful to those of you who have already participated in that by sharing the show or telling your friends or putting it on social media, because even though sometimes we like to, kind of peg social media as the bad guy or as something that brings out a lot of sin in our lives, it's also this amazing avenue that you're able to reach and influence others for Christ and reach all the nations right from your living room or the checkout line or wherever you are. So those of you who have already participated in that, it does make a difference and it reaches all kinds of women. But we really need your help to keep going and to keep producing this content and to keep making it free.
Yeah, that's one thing that our heartbeat here at RM is that every mom would be able to access these resources and that we wouldn't have to embargo things or say these are only for certain people, but that we would be able to keep our show, our website, everything that we offer for free. So each month we have fees that we pay, for the podcast, website, and domain hosting, for email subscription services, programming, photography, transcriptions. And we also pay our team members to develop the content for all the different platforms that we have, and even doing things like manage the finances or manage the website. So there are a lot of behind the scenes things going on that we are paying for. And so that's where we just want to ask you for your help. And I think we have some numbers here.
Yes, this is actually so cool. Because we sat down one day and we tried to figure out what does it cost for us to produce one podcast or one blog post or one equipping resource. And so we had our sister-in-law, Becca, who does a lot of the finances, come together with us. But to produce one episode of the podcast, it costs around $500. And it's helpful to know, like, that includes everything starting from content and editorial planning through the actual show recording and the post-production of that, editing the show, putting it all together, and making sure the sound quality is excellent for you guys. And then it goes on. We have original photography that goes along with each show. We have members on the team who write the discussion questions and program the website and put everything out on social media and compile those show notes for you guys. And so all of those things together, means a show is touched by a lot of hands on our team and transcripts. I didn't even get into all of that. So there's a lot of work that goes into that one podcast episode that kind of makes that number. And also, every time we produce an article for the website, it costs about $200. And that includes a lot of the same things like editorial content planning, actual editing of each article, original photography, pushing that out on social media. There's a lot of pieces of the puzzle there. And same with our equipping. That costs everywhere from $500 to $1,000 every time we create an equipping resource. And that doesn't even include things like if we work with an original artist or we work with a translator like we did for our Kids Abide cards. So there's definitely a lot that goes into each of these pieces. We wanted to understand these numbers. It's just some of you guys may feel led to say, I, with a one-time donation, am going to cover one whole podcast episode for Risen Motherhood this year, or I'm going to cover one or two blog articles, or I'm going to, cover an entire equipping device. So that's just an exciting way you can think about supporting us. And even if it's a smaller amount, this buys half of a show. That was one of the reasons why we wanted to kind of quantify this for you guys.
Yeah. And if you go in to make a one-time donation for us, the levels will be there too. So you can see them really easy. And we have a ton of information on this at risenmotherhood.com/give, where you can read all about this, learn more, all of that stuff. But we know that talking about money is hard, and we know that asking for money, this is very hard currently, but we are doing it. And we just, this is what it takes to kind of keep Risen Motherhood going. And we want to be able to continue creating content that you know and love from us, but we can't do it without your help. So right now we have a pretty ambitious goal. We have a platform called Patreon that we're a part of, where you can sign up to give monthly to Risen Motherhood. And right now we have about 300 community members, and we are hoping to reach a goal of 450 members, and also to increase our one-time donations. So you're welcome to do either. We need people kind of doing both for this to work. And just a quick tip with this too, is that we've heard from a lot of women that they've actually been encouraging their mom, so grandma or grandpa, to give to Risen Motherhood. We've had a lot of really generous donations through grandparents who have just felt like, hey, this is so cool. Like, I see the change that's happening in my daughter or happening in my grandchildren, and I want to invest in the future. And so that's just, if they're looking for a place to give, maybe give them a nudge. And we hope, of course, that you will join us as well. But either way, we're grateful that you guys are here.
Yeah. And just something to keep in mind, we are in the process of pursuing nonprofit status. So that is going to take some time. We don't have a deadline on that. So definitely go ahead and partner with us today. We need to keep running in the meantime. But that's one of the reasons why we wanted to continue having donations, is because we are headed that direction.
Yeah, we're in process. Like, we are knee deep in paperwork. So know that it's actually a reality, but it takes a decent amount of time for this to happen.
So you can go to risenmotherhood.com/give to find out all the details. If you are listening on release day and it is September 19th, head over to Instagram at Risen Motherhood, because we're going to have a Q&A on this tonight. Submit your question and we will try to answer anything kind of you want to know about the pledge drive or being donor funded and all of that.
Yes. Okay. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you sitting through that. Now let's get to the show. When motherhood feels too hard, like this happens to me, I don't know, all the time. Emily, does motherhood feel hard for you often?
Oh yeah. Like pretty much every day I have a moment where I think motherhood is just too hard. I don't know what to do, Lord. I feel like I cannot put one more foot in front of the other. I cannot parent graciously for one more moment. And I think this also happens kind of in connection with big seasons of motherhood. For instance, I think most of us can probably remember, maybe you brought your baby home from the hospital for the first time and you're driving home thinking, I can't believe they just let me leave with that baby. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. God, this feels just so overwhelming and so hard. And even if you brought in a child through adoption or foster care, there was probably that immediate moment where that child was in your care and you just thought, I am not equipped to do this. I cannot do this. This is too hard.
Yeah. I think that's a good point that it often feels a little more acute when we're going through those big transitions, even things like moving or changing your work schedule, or maybe getting a new childcare provider, starting school. I feel like that's going to be a big one for me. We're kind of recording this show a little bit early, so our kids are going to school very soon. So transitioning through that or into summer schedules, things like that. I don't know, or just even the daily grind of motherhood. You know, I feel like often it will just be a moment of loudness in my home. And I'm like, I just want to be done. It's just hard.
I think the thing that's interesting is the hard feeling can really permeate, like you were saying, in the small moments. And then there's also these very big, real hard things we face. And it can be really exhausting. I know that sometimes I'm just exhausted by the feeling of whack-a-mole okay, maybe I'm getting kind of I'm feeding really healthy food to our kids and I'm feeling good about that, but I haven't been reading out loud to them. And now I'm feeling like
this other area I'm terrible at.
I'm doing terrible in this other area. And at any given time, there's, 25 of those things, or I don't know, maybe hundreds of things we're responsible for. And the hardness is just, I cannot keep up with everything I am supposed to be doing at any given time. I am majorly failing in multiple areas.
Oh, sad. So, well, but it's true. It's true.
Just reality.
I feel that way too. But when I hear someone else say it, I have, of course, more clarity. So,
which is why we need hope.
Yes. So we have kind of these three things as we were talking through this show about kind of common temptations when, as a mom, we're faced with feeling like this is just a little bit too hard for me right now. So the first one is we just want to give up. Often, I think we can just stop wanting to be intentional about things. We want to stop trying, stop being thoughtful. Like Emily was talking about with the food, kind of just like, well, I'm just going to give up on everything. If I can't do it, I'm not going to do it at all. So that's kind of the first thing that I think we often do.
Mm-hmm. I think another temptation is just to give in. Just that succumbing to temptation to sin in a lot of different areas. It's that feeling of just, okay, fine, I'm done fighting. I'm just going to give in and do what feels most natural to me, which is often to sin.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about what that might look like, but
yeah. And then the last one would be to give over. And this is sort of the idea that you might give yourself over to something else. So something with maybe more instant gratification, something with a little more results, something that just feels more natural maybe to you or easier. Sometimes this can be a hobby. This can be time with friends. This can be work. This can just anything that's like outside of motherhood where you're saying, I'm going to go do that purely for the reason that I want to check out because this is too hard. Mm-hmm. Not because those are bad things.
Yeah. So although we know there's a lot of overlap in these things and we can probably be doing all three of them at the same time, we just wanted to give you guys just some quick gospel hope for each of these responses when motherhood feels too hard. But first, just a caveat that sometimes motherhood feels too hard because you're battling something deeper, like postpartum depression or anxiety disorder, or there's just some changes in your hormones that are making it really difficult to cope through these things. So this is something that's hard beyond the normal pressures of motherhood. And these aren't attitudes or moods that you can just pray your way out of or kind of give yourself a nugget of truth and redirect. This is something you may need doctors or counselors to help you work through. So definitely if you feel like, hey, I'm trying these things and I'm unable to make progress, reach out to someone, because we definitely know that there are factors that go into this.
Yeah, definitely. So we want to give you guys some gospel hope for these three things: the give up, give in, or give yourself over. And as Emily mentioned, there's a lot of overlap, so you can kind of apply these in different ways. But thinking specifically about give up, we can just look to Christ for that example. He was the ultimate show of commitment through the end. He didn't give up when God called him to the cross, and he asked God to take the cup of suffering from him, but ultimately he did God's will, and he walked to Calvary all the way for us, never giving up. It was hard and it included suffering, but he still went the way that was set before him.
Yeah. And as disciples of Christ, it's going to be hard for us, but through the Holy Spirit, we can have just his power and strength in our weakness. And so another thing, when we just want to give in, is to remember Jesus when he was tempted in the desert, and Satan came to him when he was at a really weak point physically, and he was hungry and probably tired. And he showed him all these things he could give into, like, oh, you can have power and control and you can stop your suffering right now. But Jesus used God's word to stand firm and resist the devil. He did this perfectly, and he understands what it feels like to be tempted to just give in to whatever sin it is that we want to do. But we can, again, find his strength in our weakness. And even if we do sin, we can repent and turn back to him every time.
And for the last one, giving yourself over, we see this happening in the New Testament in the early church, and people were often abandoning sound doctrine. They were abandoning just the gospel in light of other things. It was sort of gospel plus, you know, something else. And they were following the teachings of the world. And just like them, we can be like that, where we are thinking we need something more than just the gospel. We need something more than where God has put us and where he has placed us. And so it can be very easy and tempting to want to take shortcuts, or as we were sharing, just having that instant gratification for things, or just feeling like, oh, I can see some tangible results of my efforts. Mm-hmm. But there's no shortcut to God. There's no shortcut to faithfulness and to living a life just sold out for the gospel. That is all that you need. It is sufficient, and it's everything. And so to add to that isn't necessary. God provides you with everything you need to be a good mother. And when you have that good perspective of what you have in Christ and what you have set aside for you in eternity and what he's called you to today, you can stay focused on those things and not be looking for other ways to find fulfillment outside of where God's placed you.
Yeah. So we just wanted to run through these and give some examples of how we've seen this play out in our own lives. Obviously, these are just our personal experiences. So yeah. Take them with a grain of salt. Know that we all have different experiences. But one time I wanted to give up, I think I've shared this on the show before, but when we had three kids under 18 months, there was this really snowy day and I was like pumping for my twins and my older son was running around and I was so overwhelmed. I literally just went into my bedroom and I hit my knees and was just crying out to God and was like, God, I cannot do this. This is too hard. I give up. And he just really showed up with kindness and strength for that day. And I remember specifically, everybody napped at the same time that day for the first time since they were born. And I had 2 hours to clean the house and sit down quietly by myself. And God does not always show up
in
that way.
He was merciful to you.
But I just remember thinking, like, just remembering, like, God sees me and loves me, and he's going to help me persevere.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, kind of, as Emily said, doesn't always happen that way. I had a long season I've shared before about my daughter having colic. And I don't know if I've ever actually admitted this part on the show, but we were living temporarily in an apartment for about 2 months. We just moved to the Chicago area, and I was pretty sad. I was 2 months postpartum, living in a home that I didn't know, in a town with no friends, no church home, no family. And I locked myself in the bathroom almost every day for probably the full 2 months. And I would cry in the bathtub. I was sort of the stereotype that mm-hmm. I think sometimes we can get, but it was true. It was the only place I could find relief. And it was a very hard season. It was a season that I felt like God wasn't taking that suffering away. He wasn't taking the difficulties of raising two kids in what felt like somewhat isolation. And it was a long season, but I look back at it and I know that God was faithful in it. I know that He provided small mercies. At the time, I may not even have felt even that grateful for them, to be honest, in my just sadness. But I know that, like, I look back and He grew me during that season so much, and I'm really grateful for it for many reasons. And I've shared it on different shows, so I don't need to go into it here. I don't have the time. There's also, I just, like, for any of you who are going through a longer season, just to know that, like, the big and the small things, like mm-hmm. Emily and I was saying, like, sometimes there's like a really big tangible act of grace and mercy that you see. And other times it is a time for sanctification and mm-hmm. growth and just kind of the daily grind of going mm-hmm. through that.
So some examples of just whenever we want to give in. For me, this is one of the things that I feel on a daily basis, and just having to go before God every day, moment by moment. It's really frustrating to me, actually, because it feels like the thorn in your side of, like, why can I not get over this feeling? But of having to ask myself, why am I parenting this way? Do I just want to give in to my kids? Do I just want to check out? Have I called on the Lord for perseverance and for help and for truth in this situation? Or am I just relying on myself and my own strength? So that's more of a preaching the gospel to myself thing, when just the everyday moments feel hard.
Yeah, I would have to say ditto on that. I tend to be a pendulum of kind of giving into my kids' whims and desires, and then, which is wrong too, you know, mm-hmm. just like saying you can have anything you want and it doesn't matter. And then also just then snapping and being angry because they're having terrible behavior. And really, I created that. Like, I fostered that kind of an environment. And so I have to step back and ask, just like Emily, preaching the gospel to myself, hey, what's ruling my heart right now? Is it my emotions and my feelings and, or my period? I don't know. Or is it Christ? Feelings are real, but you have to think of them as gauges, not necessarily your guide for exactly what to do. I've had someone very wise tell me that saying, your feelings can tell you kind of where your hope is currently being found, but not where it should be found, which I think is a pretty key difference.
Yeah, it's kind of like that root and fruit example.
Ooh, I love root and fruit.
In Gospel Fluency recently, mm-hmm. and just, yeah, asking, like, when I see the fruit of my behavior is giving into sin, each time saying, where is that coming from? What are the roots of that behavior and that fruit in my life? Ooh, that's good. You guys should read that book. All right. Okay. So gospel hope, when you want to give over, I think, wow, I just sound like a broken record. I'm just reading my answer. I'm like, this sounds just like my last answer. I think for me, I just continually struggle with wanting to give over to the path of least resistance and what's going to make everybody else in the house feel good. I'm all about feeling good, I guess. So if it's going to, you know, watch the show, eat the food, hunker down, let's just keep to ourselves in our home so we don't have to deal with the hardness of relationships or the hardness of routine changes, or we don't have to sacrifice, we don't have to let anyone in. I am just tempted to give over to this desire for a life of ease and comfort and not of sacrifice and dying to myself and asking God, what have you called me to do in this moment? And how are you calling me to live for you in this, even if it is hard and I have to choose the difficult way.
And this is where you see how different Emily and I are, because I'm like, difficulty, let me bulldoze through it. So this is why we're very good for each other, but I am definitely the type of person that likes immediate fruit for things. And I tend to turn to options that offer very quick satisfaction, or I just can feel really good at. And that might mean I'm doing a lot of things that I'm not doing it because I want to honor God in it or because I want to serve Him, but because I want to feel valuable. And that is where I think the sin struggle comes in. You know, I may turn to, I'm going to plan a party. I'm going to make a fancy meal that's, you know, totally homemade. I am going to maybe even like buy a new shirt and just feel pretty. I don't know. These are the things that I have to continually remind myself that, like, I am invested here as a mom for the long game. That's the kind of game that God plays. He is not short-sighted like me, but but he's working even in the things that I don't see. And so actually it's probably where he's working the most, like when my daughter had colic and I was sitting in the bathroom tub. So I think that when we want to give over to things, we just have to remember that like we were talking about, there's no shortcut to this and there's nothing else that is worthy of our worship outside of God and where he's placed us.
So practically, what does this look like? I think we've touched on it a little bit, but stopping and praying when we are in those moments, when we want to just give up or give in or give over, is just asking God, crying out to him, praying his word back to him, and then just being in his word consistently. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's where our minds are renewed and transformed. And that's where we can be guided by the truth and not by our feelings and not by our sense of being overwhelmed. Living in community with other believers and having others be able to talk you through those things. I mean, this is something you never move beyond. Like, I still have to go to older women or peers and be like, I'm sorry I have to ask this dumb question, but I cannot work through this. Can you speak the gospel to me? Can you help me figure out what's going on in my heart? And then it's usually so helpful.
Or sometimes you don't really realize you need the gospel, and then your really good friends come out and they give you the gospel and you're like, oh yeah, I needed that because I was in La La Land.
Yeah. So preach the gospel to yourself and your friends. You know, I think it's that not being afraid to give your friend Jesus. And that's what we need. Yes, we need like that I'm here with you too, commiseration to some level, just so we can be empathetic, but then also pointing them to Christ and saying, this is where your sufficiency and your hope and your fulfillment and everything you need for life and godliness is found. So
yeah, let's not be dead weight friends. Mm-hmm. You know, you just think about that. Like, I don't want to like, just like keep you where you're at as a friend, or I don't want my friends to leave me just where I'm at. I want them to push me forward. I want them to push me towards the cross. And so I think that's a good thing though, Emily, because often like whenever motherhood is hard, like I'm not reaching out for help or assistance, or
that is true.
Yeah. I'm just like that kind of ingrown into my own stuff.
I think we've stumbled upon something really important here. I like it. I think that's something I don't communicate very often is, yes, whenever I'm in those moments, I'm really in my head and I want to give in or give up or whatever, I have not been living in good community with people who are speaking the gospel to me and pointing me to Christ. And I have not been living kind of authentically. Not that I'm like hiding anything, but I just haven't been in that good community. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, having those friends that have an x-ray on you is so key. And anyway, man, we got another show idea happening.
I think we did.
But anyway, be a good friend. That's the end of that little story. Okay. Anyway, we'll have more on this on our show notes. You can check those out and head over to risenmotherhood.com for all the info. risenmotherhood.com/give is where from the pledge drive, all the discussion we had at the beginning of this show, you can head over there if you'd like to contribute. We would greatly appreciate that. And of course, find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter @risenmotherhood. Thank you guys so much for joining us today.